We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org. WILLPLEDGE.ORG. Now here's your program.
Good morning and welcome to Focus. This is our morning talk show. My name's David Inge, and we're glad to have you here. And we're also very happy to have back again on the program the man we like to call our chef in residence. His name is Doyle Moore. And for more years than we can count on our abacus,
At least 30.
He's been showing up here once a month, first Wednesday of the month, 10 o'clock hour, and we talk about food and cooking, and we always have fun picking some topic and then exchanging stories and recipes. And often I think it is, no, he's the guy who picks the topic, and it's comes to him in a dream or something, and often it's of a seasonal nature. And that's what it is we have this morning. Speaking for myself, no, I'm not a fan of hot weather. But as summer approaches, there are two things that I look forward to: getting good tomatoes and sweet corn.
Yep.
Those are the things. And there are certain things that you really, that's the only time that you're going to have them. And so now we're eating a lot of tomatoes, and we just, only for the second time, just this past weekend, we had corn, and it was really nice. So this is definitely the time to be talking about this.
Well, I don't like to always repeat everything, but then, I mean, how can you avoid talking about corn in this town, number one? Mm-hmm. Number two, a lot of people are very pleased. I mean, they, not unlike you, comma, are very pleased to be able to get corn. And so I get a corn report as soon as the very first piece of corn is available in town. Somebody will call me and tell me about it, and then they're telling me about they're looking forward to it, and then people are bringing me corn. They go and buy corn and bring me corn, which I dearly love anyway, because I don't have to go stand in line and buy it. But I have quantities of fresh corn, and I do enjoy it. And so then we laugh about how we've used it and ways of cooking it. And I mean, you'd think there's not much to do, but there's a lot to do with corn. And what's interesting to me is that we've got other corn uses for corn in other ways, and I enjoy that, because you would really tire in the head if you had to think, well, there's only one way of using corn. So I've got a couple of recipes and a couple of new things have come along, and I'm interested in seeing these things grow.
I
mean,
okay,
not in the field and in your minds.
Well, the number to call if you have a recipe or a story to share is, now, if you're in Champaign-Urbana.
Oh, we're good for stories,
it
too.
Is, oh, absolutely.
Corn stories.
333-9455. So that's for Champaign-Urbana. Toll free, 800-222-9455. You may also send us an email, will-talk@illinois.edu. Just the cooking the ear of corn that you're just going to eat, mm-hmm, off the ear. There seems to be you would think, well, okay, you're going to have a big pot of hot water and you're going to put it in there, right? Okay, so what else? How much more complicated is it? And yet, I think people they're very particular about how it is they do this.
Yes.
And do you put some things in the water? Do you boil the corn? Is it just hot water that you're putting the corn in? And of course, there are people who say, "Oh, you just eat it raw, or like just dip it in hot water, and then you know that's enough." And I think it's really interesting that it's such a simple method. People actually are very particular about how.
Well,
they
they've developed their own techniques. However, it isn't new. But I have been talking with some friends about microwaving popcorn, or corn.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh,
and,
yeah. Uh-huh.
And I remember my foster family using the I mean, boy, the minute the microwave came out in, gosh, when was it? 50s, late 50s, early 60s. As soon as that microwave got there, boy, they were using it. It was on the farm folks, and they were using the microwave to cook asparagus and corn. And I had sort of forgotten about it because I never was really a part of that. I was sort of away from home after that point. But microwaving corn is very, very easy. I keep thinking, oh, you mean I have to do this and that and that and this? Yeah, you wrap it up in a wet paper towel.
And then nuke it.
I know people don't like that term, but we still use it. 3 minutes for one ear, and if you're doing 2 ears at a time, make it 4 minutes. Yeah.
And so what you're doing is you're steaming it.
You're steaming it really. It's cooking from the inside, and it's steaming it, and there's no water to throw away or to get burned by, and it's always ready. And in 3 minutes you can handle. I can't handle 10 minutes or 12. 10 or 12 minutes was too much, although I did boil some corn last week, and it was 8 minutes.
Well, that's true. I guess in the other way, you've got to get your water hot, and then you have to let it cook for however long it is you think it needs to be.
Then do you put sugar in the water? Some people do.
And Mrs. Inge now, and I don't know where she got this from, she puts lemon juice in the water. And I'm not exactly sure what that's supposed to do, but it comes out fine.
Well, it keeps everything else from turning brown, you know, avocados, artichokes, apples, everything else, lemon juice to acidulate the water, keeps things from oxidizing.
Maybe I don't know. I don't even know where she got that from. But now that's her method. And she's one of these people that what you do is you bring the water to the boil, you put the lemon juice in there, and then you put the corn in there, and you turn the heat off.
Oh,
and
I
you
see.
Just let it.
Oh, and so it is not boiling.
No, it's not boiling at all.
Never heard of that.
That's her thing. And I think she lets it sit there for maybe about 10 minutes.
Yeah, because it wouldn't be screaming hot.
Yeah.
It would be hot enough.
Oh yeah.
Hot enough.
Yeah. And it seems to work just fine.
Well, maybe somebody can tell us.
I don't know. 333-9455. Toll free 800-222-9455. Email will-talk@illinois.edu. We're looking for some corn conversation here if you just want to
conversation.
Tell us about conversation. Oh man. It's the lowest form of humor. You can call and tell us about, maybe you have, what is your secret, but also one of the things I think Doyle's really interested in is, aside from just cooking it and eating it off the ear, which is great, are there some things that you like to do with the corn? And, there's a wide variety of stuff that you can do. Well, now you brought something here.
Oh, yes, I have some things we'll talk about later.
All right. Well, I don't know if we're getting somebody lined up here or not. Again, 333.
I see a red light.
We're having a conversation, I guess, with they're comparing their corn recipes with the guy in the control room. 333-WILL and toll free 800-222-WILL. And again, it's will-talk@illinois.edu. Tell us about what it is that you
here's a recipe that I just got this last week and made it. It was given to me by a friend. I don't have to look up recipes anymore.
You don't need to go out and buy corn.
You don't need to
look up recipes.
I mean, every place I go, everyone says, I know that name. I know that voice. I said, yes, it is me. You're right. Absolutely. So we sat and chat about it. But here's one I do want to recommend. I found it very easy to make and very straightforward and exceedingly tasty. And it's not exactly like anything else. Mother made corn fritters, but those were different. Corn fritters were different. Mm-hmm. And this takes 1/2 cup of fine ground cornmeal, just cornmeal, fine ground, 1/2 cup, which is not very much. Then enough corn kernels that are cut from 2 ears of corn, which would be about 1 1/4 cups. And then 1 small shallot, and I didn't have a shallot lying around, so I used 1/2 of an onion, so it doesn't want a whole lot. And then 1/2 of a jalapeno with seeds and the membranes removed, and dice it real fine. And then 1/2 teaspoon of dried cumin. They ask for cumin seeds in the recipe, but I have both, but I just chose to have the ground cumin, half a teaspoon of cumin. And I left the salt out, and I left the black pepper out. And then it takes 3/4 cup of Greek yogurt, a good heavy yogurt, but you could use regular yogurt. And I think you could probably even use sour cream for this, but the yogurt is awfully good. And 3 tablespoons of olive oil, and 3 eggs that are separated. Now all of that will go into the mixture, except the eggs. You separate them and you save the 3 whites, and they said throw the other 2 yolks away. So there's only 1 egg yolk. So there's 1 egg yolk, Greek yogurt, olive oil. And that's the only wet mixture, and the corn and the corn kernels and the shallot, and that's all put together. And you mix up the egg whites, and you fold them in as though you were making a souffle. Mm-hmm. And then these are fried. They're taken out and fried in the pan. And I have. Right here, some
thoughtfully
for
you provided.
Thoughtfully,
some.
Now mine are a day old, but boy, are they still tasty! And they puff up just a little bit. They don't cook like pancakes. Mm. They puff up. They don't get a little roll of bubbles around the edge. So you have to watch it because they fry quickly, but they fry thoroughly, and they end up being maybe 3/8 to almost a 1/2 inch. In thickness, a nice, isn't that an interesting taste? And the corn is so sweet. Oh, how does sweet corn get in there? I mean, the corn is sweet, and that's a real strong taste that you don't often think of. How good that is. That and then just that touch of jalapeno, and then the solidness of a little bit of cornmeal in the back. Mm-hmm.
And it does have a little bit of heat, but it's not excessively.
It's tasty.
And what is it now? There's something that gives a little bit of a crunch. What is that I'm...
Cornmeal.
Oh, okay.
The cornmeal is going to be crunchy.
Oh, okay.
Other than what has fried
around the outside.
But that's real easy. Cornmeal, corn kernels, a little bit of onion, jalapeno seeds, some cumin, and salt and pepper to your own taste, of which mine is leave it out, and 3/4 cup of yogurt, and 3 tablespoons of olive oil, and all of that is all mixed together. You'll like it. One egg yolk with all of that.
Okay.
Now the recipe comes with a citrus salad and arugula and such things with it, but I ignored that because I didn't want to go that far, so I just made these tastes.
That's really good. Okay, so now if folks want,
now
we, this
I
we
have
can
and I have it right here.
You have
Xerox.
A copy of the recipe.
You can get it. You can send it. Oh, self-addressed envelope.
People, yeah, if people could do that would
stamped
help.
Stamped self-addressed
envelope. Send it to us at WILL 300 North Goodwin in Urbana 61801. Drop us a line and we can make a copy. And this is, I guess, we'll give credit here. This recipe you said came out of the Wall Street Journal.
Came out of the Wall Street Journal.
Okay.
Yeah. It doesn't have a title. I guess you just ask for the corn fritters.
Okay.
They're kind of like, they'd kind of be like corn fritters. We have a couple of other recipes that I'll talk about later.
Okay.
That I have one very special new one, a new one.
Doyle Moore is the man we call our chef in residence. He's here on the first Wednesday of the month in the 10 o'clock hour. We've been doing it for a long time. We always have fun talking about food and picking something, some ingredient, some food item, some dish, and kind of talking about different ways to do that. No rules for the show, but we generally start out at least with one thing. And he thought, well, this really is the time of year to talk about corn because there are farmers markets all around, and some people maybe actually are lucky enough to be able to produce their own, but there's good product available there. And aside from just cooking it and eating it on the cob, there are different things that you can do with that corn. So maybe you have a recipe to share. 333-9455 is for Champaign Urbana. Toll free, 800-222-9455. And will-talk at illinois.edu. That's the email. Here's someone over in Williamsport, Indiana. We'll talk with them on our line number one. Hello.
Good morning.
Hi.
I have the privilege of growing my own corn, and my favorite way, this may not fit for a cooking show, but my favorite way to eat the corn is right there by the stalk it came off of.
Well, you know, I've heard people say that really that having it raw is just great, and maybe not everybody is as lucky as you. They can go out in the field and pick it right off the plant. I've never tried doing that. So why is that better, you think, than cooking it?
I think the key is the moment it's picked, the sweet sugars start changing to starches.
Right, the esters.
And that is when it is the sweetest.
That's absolutely true, because as you bring it in and let it sit, it turns into starch and gets hard and not pleasant. But yeah, that a green corn, that means you're a very successful farmer, and you know what a successful farmer is, one who is outstanding in his field.
My favorite place to eat sweet corn.
I thought so.
It doesn't spoil the cooking aspect of the show.
Right. No,
it doesn't.
Not at all.
Because I think people would, well, how about people driving by your cornfield and stopping and getting a bit? That used to be done. There used to be a lot of corn theft,
poaching
corn, I have tasted corn to see if I'm going to like it, you know, but I never thought of eating the whole piece of corn. I like the idea. I like it a lot.
I usually grow enough that I can share plenty. So
that's nice.
If you see my field, stop by. I'll
okay, thanks a lot.
All right, thanks for
You're
your
welcome.
Call. Bye. Other calls are welcome. 333-WILL, toll free 800-222-WILL.
Now that's a genuine corn grower.
Absolutely. Well, that's and I'm sure that there's nothing. It's the same. I'm sure with anything that the shorter the time from the field to the table, the better.
Right. We talk about the
better
that.
You're going to be.
There are some people who have a 30-minute limit, and that's their secret.
I don't know. Not everybody is fortunate enough to be able to do that. You know, the best you can do is go to the farmer's market, I guess, and hope that you get something that's hours out of the field, you know, maybe like a day out of the field, and not much more than that. Here's somebody else to talk with in Urbana, line two. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
I have a couple of ways of using sweet corn that I like, both salads.
Oh.
I like to cut the corn off the cob and then take a tomato and chop the tomato up into fairly small pieces, and then take a Bermuda onion. My favorite variety at present is the candy onion, which I think is superior to a Vidalia. Chop it fine. Take green pepper and red pepper if you like. Chop them up as well. Mix them together with yogurt.
Yogurt.
And I usually use the low-fat or no-fat yogurt.
Mm-hmm.
But, that's up to the individual. The other way is with the Bermuda onion and corn, but no tomato, and green pepper, and colored pepper. I use more of them in this case, and again, mix it with yogurt. I suppose you could use mayonnaise if you wanted to. I prefer the yogurt.
I think mayonnaise would be a little bit too sweet. I think it would fight with it too much.
That's my opinion. The way it was done in my mother's day before we were using yogurt.
Right.
I also
see.
Plug for one variety of corn. Some of the new bicolors, I think, are extremely good. And there's one, I believe it's called Honey and Pearls.
Oh.
Is the only thing I grow at present.
Uh-huh. Honey and Pearls. I don't know that variety.
It's a bicolor.
Mm-hmm.
It is yellow when you cook it, but it's very, very good. And, of course, the quicker you can get it from the field to the or garden to the kettle, the better.
Right. That's what we were talking about. That's it.
Well,
now, do you cook your corn before you cut it off?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay. Good.
I don't know. I wonder what it would be like raw.
Oh, it's fine. It's
like that.
It's good. It's good raw. Just cut it. You don't have to cook it. We just talked about that fellow who eats it in the field, but there I have a recipe. I'm going to it's very much like yours. I'm going to give it in a moment or two. And it doesn't require cooking at all.
Well, I think I shall have to try that.
Yes. Good enough. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. Bye. Thanks. This makes me think of we did a show, one of the cooking shows that we did on television. We had as our guest the fellow who was the volleyball coach from the University of Illinois.
Oh, yes.
And he did a kind of a corn salad that was sort of similar to this. It had a more of a kind of an Italian thing going because it was corn and tomatoes, and I think that it had garlic in it, and I think it had some kind of fresh herb. I think maybe it had basil in it, and he made a balsamic vinaigrette.
Balsamic, that was
dressing.
special for that.
And it
yes.
was it was really, really good. And it was this same procedure where you took the, and I don't know if people aren't sure what we're talking about here, but you take the ears of corn, and you take a knife, and you just go down the side and you cut the kernels off.
As long as we're talking about that, we may as well get into the problems of it. It goes all over the table and goes everywhere. So you get a bowl and you put the ear of corn standing up into the bowl and you slice down through that. Now, of course, the bowl that I got was a little bit too small. So what you do is you get two bowls, one smaller than that, and that raises it up. But it still gives you the protection of the big bowl to catch the corn. So you raise that up a little bit, and the corn still goes into the bowl. A two bowl, that's something that's just been recently demonstrated
that's
on television
clever.
In places like that.
And of course, it does also help if you cut the bottom of the corn, the ear off, so you have a nice flat base to it just makes it a little bit.
More stable,
and if you're dealing with a sharp knife, maybe you want to be careful.
But I think I would prefer to use a great big wide stainless steel bowl. You know, a foot and a half, foot, about 17-18 inches wide bowl. That works real good. I thought I'd mention that though. If you got the smaller bowl, put a littler one inside it. You raise it up.
Yeah.
It works.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's exactly what you have to do.
Yeah. All right. We have another caller here. This is someone in Bloomington, Illinois. Line number one. Hello.
Good morning.
Hi.
I can't believe this. I was thinking of you guys this morning, and here you are on the radio.
That's us.
So thank you. I have a totally different question, but I kind of need help, and if you can give me ideas and how to look for it. I would like to take my garlic and pickle it, but I want to pickle it so I can keep it months, not just days and weeks. So any ideas on recipes, I'll appreciate that.
Well, probably straightforward pickling. I think I would imitate Jamie Oliver in this particular direction. You make two kinds of liquid. One is the boiling pickling liquid, and the other one is the marinated the marinade that you keep. I would take vinegar and salt and pepper and sugar and maybe some bay leaves and maybe plenty of pepper, and I bring that to a boil and boil the peeled garlic. Take the peeled garlic and boil it in there for 3 minutes. Into this vinegary sauce that you've made. Then you put it into another container, and it has olive oil, and and bay leaves. Let's see, there's olive oil, bay leaves. You could probably put some things like cloves, and maybe, I don't think cinnamon wants to go in there. You could drop a cinnamon stick in there. But that's an olive oil based. You can put a little bit of vinegar in that. But that's kind of, that's the marinade, and it stays in that. And as long as it's submerged in that, it'll stay for a long time. So you
can refrigerate it?
You can refrigerate it, or you don't really have to refrigerate it.
Okay. So you do one, and then you put it in the other?
Yes, while it's hot.
Okay.
So you take it out of the boiled vinegars and put it in, and you can mess with the vinegars and put as much, if you want it sweeter, add sugars, but I would just use apple cider vinegar. I wouldn't waste putting elaborate vinegars with it. I would use cider vinegar or even white vinegar for this beginning pickling. But it only boils and pickles for about 3 minutes. Now the thing is, as long as you're happy doing that, do it with some other vegetables as well, like maybe some carrots that you've not chopped up, but made into long strips. Carrots, celeries, parsnips, turnips. And green beans, those could all be cooked in exactly the same way. But that's a Jamie Oliver thing. I just did it this summer. That's why I'm sort of excited about it. But yes, garlic will work that way.
Okay. Great. Thank you very much.
Sure.
Okay, thanks. And if you want to check recipes, the caller's gone. I was just going to say that Jamie Oliver has a website, jamieoliver.com, and I'm having a hard time going there, but he does. Apparently there is a recipe for balsamic pickled shallots and garlic, for example, on his website. If you have internet access, here we go. Here's a recipe for pickled garlic from Jamie Oliver.
Yeah, what do they do?
Okay, we have garlic, fresh ginger, coarse salt, red chilies, white wine vinegar, dry white wine, and mustard seed. And you combine the garlic in a large saucepan with enough water to cover. Place over medium-high heat, bring it to a boil. Let it boil for 2 minutes. Drain it. This is when it's cool enough to handle. Peel each clove without crushing it. Transferred to a non-metallic bowl, add ginger and salt with enough water to cover and refrigerate that for 2 days. Drain it and rinse thoroughly in cold water. Drain again and then pack ginger and garlic evenly into 7 clean, hot half-pint jars to 1/2 inch from the top. Add 1 chili to each jar. Combine vinegar, wine, and mustard seed in a medium saucepan. Bring it to a rapid boil over high heat. Ladle enough of that brine to cover the garlic mixture. Run a plastic knife or spatula between the mixture and jar to release any air bubbles. Clean rim and threads of jar with damp cloth. Seal with new scalded very hot lid. Repeat with remaining jars. Transfer to gently simmering water bath. Process for 10 minutes. So this is the whole usual canning process. But that's one recipe here for pickled garlic. And I there may be some others. So the other thing I suppose you could do is just do a web search and just put in pickled garlic and see how many recipes you get. What are we doing here? We're talking with the man we call Chef in Residence, Doyle Moore. He's with us once a month. I was always on the first Wednesday. And we'll talk some more after a short break. This is Focus.
This month, maintenance work is being performed on our AM580 antenna. It'll make our signal more reliable, especially during inclement weather. At times when the work is in progress, we'll need to reduce our power, and some of you may have trouble receiving AM580 as clearly as usual. 90.9 FM will not be affected, and AM580 is always available online at will.illinois.edu. Thanks for understanding.
This is Focus, our morning talk show. My name is David Inge. Glad to have you with us. We're here weekday mornings with 10 different topics. In the second hour today, the guest is Frederick Lynch. He is Associate Professor of Government at Claremont McKenna College. That's in California. And we'll be talking about the potential of older folks to be a unified voting bloc and also the potential of one particular organization to lead them. That's the AARP. And he writes about this in a new book that he's titled One Nation Under AARP.
Tomorrow morning at 10, we'll be talking about food in a different sort of way. We'll be talking about food safety. And occasional outbreaks of foodborne illness continue to be a problem. In fact, right here over the past few months, there's been an outbreak of salmonella that seems to be related to ground turkey, and some people in Illinois have gotten sick. We'll talk with Guy Lonergan, who's professor in the College of Agricultural Sciences and Natural Resources at Texas Tech. And then also tomorrow, we'll be doing a monthly show on computers. So we're here weekday mornings 10 to noon, and if you'd like to find out the schedule, find out what we'll be doing, or listen to past programs, go to our website, will.illinois.edu. And in this hour of focus, our guest is Doyle Moore. This is our monthly show on cooking, and we pick some topic and exchange stories and recipes, and we always like to have stories as well. And this time around, he said, well, it's summer. We should be talking about that great summer favorite, corn, the thing that people look forward to. And I said at the beginning, yeah, I do too. I think about in the wintertime, in January, February, in March, you think, you know, one of these days there's going to be the farmer's market and there's going to be sweet corn. And it's a great thing, and you enjoy it while it's there. And then when it's gone, it's gone. So if you have a good recipe or you just want to talk about corn, cooking corn, you can give us a call, 333-9455, toll free, 800-222-9455. You can also email us at will-talk at illinois.edu. Here's something interesting. Someone writes in that there was a tip that was in this month's Bon Appetit magazine where they suggested that you could use a bundt pan to remove corn from the ear.
Oh.
So what you do is you got to anchor your ear in the center part, and she said the kernels just fall into the pan.
And fall into the pan, but that's it.
Isn't there a particular sort of a tool that's actually
there
for
is a tool.
That?
Yeah. That you squish
it's like
down.
A ring
yeah.
that's got handles on
right.
it, and you just go and you do it all in one swell foop.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. That's an interesting tip. People can try that. How about let's talk with someone in Arcola? Line number one. Hello.
Hi there.
Hi.
I was just hoping for the quickest, easiest way to get sweet corn into the freezer. Thinking maybe in Ziploc bags or something?
Yes.
How do you go about, what would be a good way technique?
Some people like to blanch the corn, which would just boil the corn and then cut it off and put it in bags and freeze it. It's that simple. I think my family puts up a lot of corn, but I don't think it's very complex. You don't have to put anything in it to keep it from browning. You don't put any seasonings with it. But I think you want to stop its growth, and so parboiling is what you do.
So, and exactly what does that mean? How do you do that?
Parboiling is boil the corn just as if you were going to prepare it to eat, and then just cut it off, and go away. So that boiling first will stop the change of the esters to starch,
right.
And that's why you do it,
and then freeze it,
and it works quite well.
All right, very good. Well, thank you. Let's go to Urbana for somebody else. This is line two. Hello.
Hi. I just wanted to say that it's great to see that this kind of focus comes up every month. I mean, I just love hearing all about just celebrating the food and everything.
Thank you.
I have to say, this has been one of those summers where I've just been crossing my fingers. Like at the beginning, it's like, where's the tomatoes?
Right.
And to see the corn coming out. I just want to say that it seems so unbelievably obvious, but there's a place in town that's actually doing smoked corn, and I can't believe that I made it 40 years, and it's like, oh, well, duh, yeah, smoke it. It's amazing. But I just wanted to toss that out there because when it comes to corn, I'm usually a purist, you know, just take it out of the husks and boil it, then salt and butter, and, you know, eat as much of it as you possibly can before you burst. But, I mean, I couldn't believe it, though.
Tell us who and what and where.
Oh, Black Dog.
Oh.
Yeah, they're doing smoked corn is one of their
smoked corn.
And it's been it was just blindingly good. I was amazed.
And so, how do they serve it? Just on the ear?
Yeah, it's amazing. amazing.
Wow. I know I've heard about people grilling it.
Yeah, exactly.
Which I have been meaning to try like forever. But the idea of smoking it,
the chef over there, I mean, Mark Hartstein's been, you know, playing with smoking everything. Like, he does, like, smoked yams, and it's like you could just nip the end off of it and squeeze it in your mouth like a tube of toothpaste. It's amazing. It's beautiful. And then with the corn, it's nice that, as opposed to grilling, sometimes the outside will cook before it's actually ready to eat. Like,
yes.
You have that scorch on there. With the smoking, though, it's just almost, it's just like it's jumping off of the cob into your mouth. But I just wanted to add that.
And I'm glad to know about that, because I don't know anything about that. I've kind of pondered.
But I'm shocked. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's so simple and so purist.
Like it.
It kind of connects that male side, too, you know, just.
Yes. Well, you're right.
All right. Well, have a good summer.
Right. You bet.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Well, now that's very interesting. I would not have thought about that.
I wondered about, but I have to get my smoker out. I haven't smoked many fishes recently, but maybe I'll get the smoker out and try some corn. You know, in the last month, I don't know where I got this idea. I mean, it wasn't an idea. I don't know how it got to me. I don't know if it was television or a conversation or a radio thing I might have been listening to, but I'm very puzzled by it. But at the same time, I understand it. Someone made a statement about the only way to eat corn is vertical, and that means pointing up. And I thought, you don't eat corn pointing up.
Do that?
Well, except the Europeans cut it into 3-inch sections and hold on to it and munch it vertical. Now, I don't know who it was that said it. I have to do some more research. Who said the only way to eat corn is vertical? And I thought, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard of, until I realized that there are a lot of recipes, and most of them are European recipes, where the corn is cut into sections that are only about 2 inches, uh-huh. And then they go ahead and cook. They're in stews and such things. And then to eat that, of course, you hold it, and you hold it vertical. And they didn't explain anymore, and nothing more was said, and that's been going on in my mind for quite some time. I wonder if anyone knows about eating corn vertical.
Very interesting.
It's weird.
Very strange. Okay, well, again, we have time. We have about 12 or 13 minutes in this part of Focus. The numbers here in Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455 and toll-free 800-222-9455. So maybe you have a story, you have a recipe, whatever. We're talking about corn. This is certainly the time to enjoy it while it's here. Before you know it, it's going to be.
That's it. Well, I've got a recipe that I want to share. And this one requires no cooking, which is sort of peculiar, but I like it very much. It's avocado corn gazpacho. That's a whole lot of stuff put together, and it does sound Santa Fe, doesn't it? It just Santa Fe.
Yeah. Avocado corn gazpacho.
You can also, I have this written out, so you could ask for it, but I will go through it as quickly, directly. One zucchini, one yellow squash, one red bell pepper, one small yellow onion, one jalapeno, and 1 teaspoon of chopped garlic. And all of that is put into a food processor. The zucchini, squash, bell pepper, onion, jalapeno, and garlic, and you put it in the food processor and pulse it. Don't make it pureed, but just small minced, but don't make it soupy. Transfer that to a bowl, and then you have 3 ripe avocados. So you have and pit the avocados and put half of the avocado in the food processor and do make it into a puree. Then you dice the remaining 1.5 avocados and add that to the vegetables. And then you add the avocado puree, the diced avocado, fresh corn. The fresh corn is corn not cooked but cut from the cobs, and cilantro and lime juice, and about 5 cups of cold water, ice water. 5 cups of ice water. Mm-hmm. Mix that with a spoon and refrigerate it until it is cold. It's going to be cold with the ice water in, and then eat it and serve it. It's all fresh. So there are chopped vegetables, pureed avocado and diced avocado and fresh corn and cilantro and lime juice and then salt and pepper to your taste. You can ask for this recipe. It's called avocado corn gazpacho. I'm excited to try it because I like the idea of, oh, it's all fresh. You don't have to cook it.
Well, that's interesting. And despite the fact that this is called gazpacho, there's no tomato in this.
There's no tomato in it. No, there's not. But there's five cups of ice water. So it'll be a very thin cold soup that has a lot of body to it with all these vegetables.
Yeah. Well, that sounds pretty good.
Doesn't it?
I think I might like that.
Yeah, and not a lot of spices. Lime juice and cilantro. There's no extra and a jalapeno, but there's no extra fussing. Really, really kind of direct.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, we have just someone called, and someone was listening to our conversation about preparing the corn, getting it ready to go into the freezer, and they suggested, and this does I think make a lot of sense, provided you have one. They suggested using an electric knife. And I don't know. I'm not sure. I've never had an electric knife.
I had one a long time ago.
Yeah.
It would work good because it does the sawing back and forth, right. And you don't have to. And if you're using a regular knife and you're trying to saw back and forth, you will slant and you go into the cob. It's a mess. Yeah. Cutting corn. And so an electric knife would just zip right straight down. Yeah, I approve of that.
That would make the task. Okay. Line number one in Champaign is a caller here. Hello.
Hi. I have a question about a dish that we've eaten a lot in New Orleans called mock shoe.
Mock shoe, yes.
I've looked in all my Southern and Louisiana cookbooks, and I find very many different recipes, and I wondered if you fixed that before.
I was going to get the mock shoe recipe and bring it, and I totally forgot it today. It is one of those things that has gone sort of into folk culture, and so therefore some people put this in it and some people put that in it. Essentially it is a fried corn dish, which is awfully Pennsylvania Dutch. Fried corn, but it uses pimentos and are there peppers in it?
Yeah, usually there's green peppers. Sometimes I've seen it with red peppers and always onion.
Red peppers and onions, and as I say, is there any celery?
No, I've not.
So it doesn't use the Trinity.
No,
so,
it doesn't.
But red peppers, yes, and corn. And onions, and then a lot of pepper.
Oh, my heavens. At K. Paul's, it was very, very spicy.
Very spicy with red pepper. I mean, not red pepper, black pepper.
Yeah.
Lots of it. I mean, you can't put a tablespoon would not be too much.
No, it would not. And some of the recipes use cream, I've noticed, and some don't.
I believe I would put cream in it because I do like corn cut off and cooked, fried, sautéed a little bit, and then finished with cream. I like that very, very much.
Yeah, I think I would try it with cream too.
I believe I would sauté the red peppers before I put the corn in.
Right.
Because the corn isn't going to fry very long.
Right.
And the peppers want to be softened just a little bit. So the onions and the red pepper in there, and then corn and I have no idea why it's called mock shoe. That's not S-H-O-E. That's
C-H-O-U-X.
C-H-O-U-X, yeah. Yeah. Shoe. Shoe, isn't that the petit shoe?
The cabbage?
Head, yeah.
Huh.
Cabbage? Or is that show?
I think that you're right. I guess I could see if I could get a...
Yes, I don't have that information. Oh, but I did want to say I have one recipe that uses roasted corn cut off in that recipe.
Roasted.
So you roast the corn and then you cut it off and you put that in after you've sautéed your other vegetables.
Uh-huh.
Which might be kind of fun to do.
Well, that would give it a different taste going into that, but that also depends on how long you then cook it, or you'd come up with pretty much the same thing if you were frying it a little bit
more.
Well,
that's true.
But mok shu is a real very special dish.
Yeah.
I'm glad you mentioned it. I'd forgotten to bring that recipe.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Well, thanks for the call. And again, if people are interested in looking up recipes, I did a little web search, and of course there are a gazillion recipes. And one, for example, Emeril Lagasse has one. His does use cream in it. And it uses his spice mixture,
and also the
recipe I found for that actually did give the recipe. So if you wanted to make up your own, you don't have to go buy it, because it's a whole lot cheaper
to make your own. His is very straightforward.
And you can vary and you can vary it depending on what it is that you want to put in. And I can't, I'm looking here to see if I can find something that says, well, what does mok shu mean? And so far I haven't found anything. And other than, it says it's a traditional Louisiana thing. It's a blend of Cajun and American Indian influences.
Yep.
Okay.
That's it.
Let's see. We had maybe about 5 minutes left. Someone wants to call real quick, they can give us a call. 333-9455. Toll free 800-222-9455. The email is will-talk@illinois.edu. Here we got somebody who actually sent us by email a grilled corn recipe. And I don't know if we really have time for the whole thing. Basically, we've got... A kind of a dressing here, which includes mayonnaise, lime juice, some ground red pepper, and I'm assuming that means the hot, the chili, the pimentum wither, some queso fresco, and some lime. And what you do is you soak the corn in the husk of soak it in cold water for about 20 minutes, and then you combine your mayo, lime juice, and salt. Set corn over a medium hot fire and grill it, turning regularly until the husks are charred, which she says takes about half an hour. And then you need to carefully pull off the husks and brush lightly with the mayonnaise mixture, and then put it back on the grill over a medium hot fire and turn regularly until golden brown, about 4 minutes. And then you brush it generously, both with the mayo mixture, and sprinkle with the cheese and dust lightly with pepper, and serve with a lime wedge for spritzing. Now, that sounds pretty good. Now, you needn't go to that length. This is another one of the things I think people do various things with: lime, butter, oil, hot chilies, do various sorts of things to it, which I'm sure would enhance it. I think if you wanted to try this, though, probably all you really need to do is you need some corn. Need a grill. But I think it's probably a good idea to do soak them beforehand, and then...
Oh, that's another argument, yes.
You want to put them on the grill, and then that will protect... Again, what you'll do is you're sort
steaming,
of steam the corn.
Steaming it.
You won't burn it. Yep. And then what you can do is, if you want to get a little char and caramelization on the corn, then once it's actually cooked, so this deals with the issue of it being charred but not cooked, then you can put it back on the grill. Just grill a little bit, and then you might want to,
you get the char marks.
Put a little bit of some kind of oilish thing, maybe a little olive oil you could do. I suppose you could put a little bit, something that would maybe help enhance the browning of it.
Have we got just about 2 minutes?
Yeah, sure.
Remember Grant Sigmund, the 7-year-old boy that was on our program?
Yes.
I want to give his recipe.
He's probably in college now.
No, I saw him. Within the last 6 months, I saw him and his mother. Remember this: 4 slightly beaten eggs, 2 packages of corn muffin mix, some Jiffy corn mix, 1 can of cream style corn, and then you can use 1 can of whole corn, or I cut the corn off of the cob and end up with about 2 cups. I like to do that. He said, you always cut it off the cob. We chatted about that before. Then 2 cups of sour cream and 2 sticks of melted butter. So that's eggs, corn muffin mix, cream corn, whole corn, sour cream, and melted butter. Combine that all together and put it into a 9x13 casserole and bake it for 350 degrees for 45 minutes. He calls it, it's the corn spoon bread recipe that we had.
Oh, yeah, we did it. This must have been the crock pot?
No, that was the one after crock pot.
Okay.
Potlucks and picnics and such. Yeah, and so I had such a good time on that, and I remembered that. I said, wait a minute, don't forget that recipe, because good corn.
Right. We're coming down to about a minute left, and I don't know if there's any last thing. Maybe you want to just maybe go over the fritter, corn fritter recipe once again?
Well, yeah, I'll mention that again. And write in for it. Send a self-addressed envelope, and then you can have these recipes that I've got here. Half a cup of cornmeal, 1 1/4 cups of corn kernels, 1 small shallot, a half a jalapeno pepper chopped fine, and half a teaspoon of cumin, and salt and pepper, and 3/4 cup of Greek yogurt, and 3 tablespoons of olive oil, and 1 egg yolk. And then you have 3 egg whites that are mixed together and whipped up into a good meringue, and fold that in carefully into that fritter batter. And it says let it set a little bit. I'm not sure why it wants to sit, because I don't think you want to deflate those air bubbles too much, but maybe sitting together allows it to meld a little bit one way or the other. I didn't allow it to sit very long. And you cook it. Now, you have to be careful when you're cooking it, because it doesn't act like a pancake, so you're not going to recognize bubbles coming around, and it will fry very quickly, and it'll get black very quickly, and the top looks like it hasn't even begun to cook, but it is cooking, and you just flip them over about 2 minutes on each side, and you've got a very, very delicious fritter. You can slow down on the jalapeno, or speed up, or even leave it out. Somehow the corn and the cornmeal make a very, very nice combination. I don't know too many recipes that have that combination of corn and cornmeal.
Okay. Yeah, I think the jalapeno is nice, but I guess if you didn't really want, depending on
or
your tolerance for heat,
right,
you could either not put it or put less.
Or get a can of green chilies, chopped green chilies. They would be good without being hot. They would give you a chili flavor. I hadn't remembered that until just right now.
All right. Yeah, we gotta leave it at that, with the promise that next month, when it will be fall.
Oh my gosh!
Doyle
already.
Will come back. I know. Doyle Moore, the man we like to call our chef in residence, on the first Wednesday of every month. He's here. We talk about food and cooking. And thank you very much.
Well, happy Corn Day.